Well, good morning, everyone. I'm just gonna scroll through here and check in on who's got haircuts in the last week or so. You're all looking pretty shaggy. Oh, I see some good haircuts. This is good. Welcome, everyone. It is nice to see you guys. That's good. It's good to be together this morning. Thanks for being here. Thanks for making the time to worship together. That's what this is all about. We are, Marco's going to keep you muted the whole time as people are entering until we have those chances to respond, so that when we sing, we'll only be hearing ourselves. So, but God will be hearing us the whole time. So let's start with our greeting and our call to worship. When Jesus saw the crowds, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for God's kingdom is theirs." And that's for you this morning. Regardless of how it is that you feel about how your spiritual life is going, this is God's message to you this morning. God's kingdom is yours. Let's move to our call to worship. I'm going to read both parts, but please join me from your end as well. Let's read this together. Sin and death have been defeated by the Son who offered his life. Lost are being found by the Father who never stops looking. Hope is being offered by the comforting Spirit of God's presence. Our triune God does these things. Creation celebrates in worship, and we join in. Amen. We're now going to worship God through song.
Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy. His deep cries out to thee. Come.
Holy Spirit,
There we go. Thanks, Marco, for setting that up for us. This morning, we have not really a special guest because she's one of us, but she is joining us from Quebec at the moment. So Kelsey is with us this morning. Kelsey is one of the missionaries that we support with YWAM, and you've seen her up on stage before quite a number of times. And I reached out to Kelsey a couple times just to see how life is going as COVID-19 hit and things have changed and so on. And so I thought it would be worth hearing from Kelsey and just giving her a chance to give us a little bit of an update. So Kelsey, could you tell us a little bit about what's been happening for you? What initially took you to Quebec? Could you remind us of that? And then just share with us what you've been up to.
Yeah, am I unmuted?
Okay. You're good.
Great. Good morning, everyone, by the way. And it's so cool to have this opportunity to talk to you guys on a screen. It's a little different. So just a reminder, what brought me to Quebec was the acting school that started in January. And so I did that. I did the acting school for 3 months, and it was a whirlwind. It was like, it was a lot, but it was so good. I knew it was going to be a pretty intense. They told us that, but I had no idea when I actually started. It was pretty intense in a good way. Like, it was just like every day we were acting, but we were also like going in deep with the Lord. And there's just the acting school brings a lot out of you, not just with your acting skills and stuff, but it also brings a lot of personal things out, and it brings stuff that you had no idea that you actually had to deal with. And so for me, I guess some highlights of the school would, sorry, I put some notes down so I wouldn't forget. There was 8 of us students, and so we grew pretty close together and with the Lord, like real fast. And then I learned a lot personally, and as I was saying, and one thing that stands out to me is that I realized about 3 weeks into the school that I put a wall up, and that I didn't know was there, that I put up while I was in Alberta. And basically that wall was that even though I grieved quite a bit from the loss of my mom, while I was back in Alberta, I realized that I was not allowing myself to fully grieve because I was trying to be strong for others around me, and trying to, when I was around certain of my family members or whatever, trying to be strong and trying not to, trying to be there for them, and which is good, but also have to be there for me and let myself grieve. And so God started to blow that wall away, and I started to allow the Lord in that pain and in that hurt. One other thing that I just want to quickly share is that with that, I realized that I never actually got to have a time of like releasing that pain and stuff, because we as a family weren't able to spread my mom's ashes yet. And so I realized that during the school that is something that I didn't have that closure and that I needed. And so on her birthday, which was April 1st, which was the last week of the school, I decided that I needed to do something. And so I got a lantern, and like a Chinese lantern, and I let it go in the sky. And I, I wrote on it and different things that I shared with my mom and whatnot. And I had a few people around me at that time. And of course it was a little different because than I planned because of COVID. So that was kind of a bummer, but God was in all of it, and it just how it all worked out was amazing. And I let the lantern go, and I was able to let that go and let that pain and everything go. And like, of course, I still miss her. Like, that's never going to go away. But that hard grief, that hard pain was lifted that day, and it has just been so awesome how my friends came around me, and like it was so amazing and so beautiful. And like, it was a twofold thing where I let that go, and then I allowed the Lord to minister to me and to come and to speak to me. And so I had my friends surround me with prayer, and they got like words for me and stuff, and it was so cool and so amazing. And then after, I was like, let's party. And so I danced, we all danced, and we just had like a good time, and everything just like, there was things that weren't planned, and it just like happened. And like, we worshiped at the end and we prayed at the end, and it was just, yeah, it was so beautiful. Sorry if I'm going over my time. basically what's happening now is, because I was working through so much, it felt like every day I was working through a new emotion. And so talking with my leaders and through prayer and peace that I just had, I decided not to do the internship, which followed right after the acting school. And so I'm still here in Denham at the base. And, so I've been working, mostly every morning on my SBS, which is the School of Biblical Studies online that I've been doing for a few years. So I'm continuing with that. I'm in Matthew right now, and, yeah, and that's been like really great, and it's been really awesome to be able to spend more time in the Bible. And so I'll be here till at least the end of June, if not longer, because of COVID and everything. I'm trying to get my green card still, so to go back to the States, to go back with Montana, and so with things being a little bit in limbo, I'm gonna be here until that happens. And so I'm hoping that it'll be sometime this summer that I'll be able to go back, and I'll come to Alberta, of course, and before I move back to Montana. But yeah, and so basically what it's been looking like is I'm doing SBS in the morning, and then I'm helping in the afternoon with in the kitchen on base. And we don't have a lot of schools running anymore because of COVID, and so we have but we have the internship still happening, so they're doing like short films and whatnot on the base. And so I've been able to help with that, which has been really cool and really awesome. And it's been definitely a change of what I thought was going to happen, but it's also been like super great and super awesome. God's been moving a lot in my life, personally and on the base. And yeah, she's been super exciting. And then I've been able to lead a Bible study on Zoom with four youth girls. And so that's been really fun. And the girls are so awesome. I love them so much. And they're just like, they're so into the word, and they want to know more. And they have like really good questions, and they are hungry. And it's so cool. It's been really amazing to have that opportunity. And so that happens on Monday afternoons. And they're girls that their parents are on are on staff here, and right now they can't go to school because of COVID and everything. So they, so they're able to connect with each other on Zoom on Monday afternoons, and so that's been really fun. And a little fun thing is I'm learning how to play drums, and I love it. So yeah, I am a drummer, so that's been kind of fun. But I think that's all, unless you have questions.
that's great, Kelsey. Thanks for sharing. I love the way that you were vulnerable and shared the fact that God is working in the midst of some of your pain and bringing you through this season of like desert and wilderness, and it led through to worship. Like, what an amazing picture of the way that God redeems difficult things. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, and thanks for sharing about the ways that you're still serving even though plans have changed. How could we pray for you?
So I think one major thing is I've been still having a hard time with my allergy with gluten. And so what happens is my body hates gluten and it reacts. And so I've been having some reactions. Because I'll have gluten on accident. And so if you can just continue to pray for a miracle with that, I would love to be able to eat gluten again and not let my body react. It's very painful and it really, annoying. And so so that would be one thing. And then another thing is that I would just, one thing that God has done just this last week is with showing me that I was putting my identity in my grief and like in other things. And he started like showing me things that where it started like years ago. And so basically what God did was he gave me a whole new root system, and he like took that out and like put a whole new root system in it. I don't have time to go into it, but it's like really cool and really beautiful what God did there. But if you can just be praying for me in that I would continue to walk in the identity that I am his daughter, and that I, and this, how I talk about myself or how I view myself would be in a healthy way, and that I would continue down that road and not allow lies or circumstances to dictate how I feel or what I say about myself. That's a big thing that God has been doing in my heart, is how I speak about myself and how I view myself and my worth. And so I think that'd just be the biggest prayer, is that I would just continue with that and that I wouldn't forget what God has been doing. And then of course my green card application and everything, trying to get all that situated.
Well, thanks, Kelsey. Thanks for taking the time to share with us. Friends, we're gonna move into a time of prayer, and I'm going to share my screen with you. I'd like to do the prayers of the people again. And I'm going to read a little bit of a prayer written by this person you see on the screen. But while I pray for Kelsey and then read some of this prayer, feel free to text me your prayer request, and then I will add them to our prayers. I will keep it anonymous, even if your name shows up here. So if you say, pray for my dad, I won't say, go pray for Joel's dad or something like that. I'll just pray for the person whose father needs prayer. So. Let's pray together, friends. Father, first of all, I thank you for Kelsey and for the way that you have been at work in her life in some awesome ways. I thank you that you, although she had to go through difficult times, you brought her out into worshiping you and following you more closely. And I pray that we would we would take hope in that, that as we go through our own times of difficulty, we remember that we've seen you bring others through to the other side where they come to a place of worship. Lord, I thank you that you are building in Kelsey a new identity as a daughter, your daughter, and that you are the person who defines who she is, and you write your name over her. And I pray that you would do that this morning, that she would know that she is yours. I pray that you would provide for her in the healing ways that she needs, touch her body, and at the same time, help her make good decisions about what she eats and to steward her body well in a way that would please you. And Lord, I pray for this green card and for the things that are next. Lord, it's a strange world that we're in, and we're wondering what's next, but you know, and you're taking care of these things. And I pray that you would help Kelsey to trust you and to be waiting for you to provide what it is that she needs. Please continue to bless her in her various ministries at the moment there. May she see those as things that you are using to bless other people. I pray for this Bible study that she's a part of. Lead these youth further into relationship with you. Lead Kelsey into further relationship with you as she sees Jesus at work in the Gospel of Matthew. Bless her for all her efforts in Quebec. Now, Lord, we pray the prayer related to our pandemic here. Lord, we pray for the church struggling with faith in the midst of global suffering. God, we believe in your willingness to heal and your power to do so. So help our unbelief. We pray for those who don't know Jesus yet, but find their hearts stirred by spiritual curiosities and eternal longings. God, in your kindness, lead many to repentance and obedient faith in your Son. We pray for first responders and frontline healthcare workers, especially those in places of the epicenters of infection. God, reinforce their ranks and strengthen them with supernatural energy. For nursing homes, rehabilitation centers, and other long-term care facilities, God, encourage the lonely residents, strengthen the staff members who help them, prevent further infection, and comfort families who cannot visit as they would like. We pray for the people in abusive situations. God, restrain those who commit harm, provide protection and rescue for victims, and comfort them in their vulnerability. Lord, we pray for Asian Americans in the United States, Africans in China, and other people all over the world who are subjected to COVID-related racism. God, confront this evil with your swift justice and deliver our brothers and sisters from cruelty. We pray for everyone anxious about the economic future, for how they'll pay for housing, food, and essential medicines. God, connect them to sources of help through the church, the government, and the community, and enable them to look toward you for provision. We pray for educators forced to adapt curricula to online learning, and for students forced to exercise more autonomy. God, make homes a place of curiosity and inquiry and study. Give special help to children without the regular access to the internet and other digital tools they need. We pray for churches, parachurch ministries, and other Christian organizations doing online evangelism and discipleship, like Kelsey is. Lord, we pray that you would bless our imperfect digital efforts and continue to advance the kingdom of Jesus. Lord, we pray for those involved with politics at every level. God, help our leaders to work collaboratively and communicate efficiently, setting aside self-interest for the common good. God, we acknowledge that you spoke the world into being and continue to sustain it with your word. We trust in your wisdom, power, and goodness. Help us at every opportunity to love as you loved and to serve as you served. Give us courage to speak of our hope in Jesus, who suffered for us, rose from the dead, and is coming again. And now, Lord, here are the requests from your people. Lord, we pray for brothers and sisters in countries with no resources to deal with COVID. Lord, provide for them. Countries like Zimbabwe and Zambia, in Cambodia. We pray for a brother who is struggling with memory loss and broken relationships, and others struggling with addictions and health issues right now. This is a difficult time. Lord, reach out to them. We pray for a congregant who has a procedure coming up this week. We pray that this would go well and that you would put your hand on her. We pray for direction. Direction in a big decision coming up. This individual wants to hear clearly from you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak clearly, whether directly or indirectly. May the individual know that you are involved. We pray for a next door neighbor. There's been a heart attack. Lord, I pray that you would provide for the health concerns, provide the comfort that's needed, and may the neighbor who is requesting prayer, may you equip them to be a neighbor the way Jesus defines neighbor. Lord, we have a prayer of thanksgiving because a daughter got a job that was needed. Thank you, Lord. May it work out. May you provide what she needs. Thank you for this, Lord. Pray for someone who is needing surgery that has been delayed. We ask that you would sustain this person in the meantime and that you would bring them through and healthier on the other end. And may they know that you have provided for them. Lord, for these requests and the others that come to mind and are heavy on our hearts this week, we pray that you would provide. And I pray that above all, Lord, that out of these, as you are working with your people, they would see and know that you are active in their lives and that you want to show them how great you are. Lord, may worship be the result of these difficult times. Have your way, Lord. Have your way now with Kristen and the kids as we move into a time where our kids can hear more about you. Bless our time together, Lord. Amen. Let me turn it over now to Kristen.
Are we good? I have to rearrange something here. So maybe as I do that little bit of rearranging, you want to stand up and come a little closer and shake those legs out a little bit. All right. For the last chunk of time, we've been looking at a big picture question. And that big picture question is changing for the next little while. For the next month or so, our new big picture question is, what is repentance? Repentance is turning away from sin, that wild horse that we talked about a couple weeks ago, and it's turning to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to summer. I like to go and pick berries. And can you see? I'm almost at the end of my bag in the freezer of summer berries. And my love for berry picking started when I was a little girl. And when I was a little girl, my mom would take us berry picking in the summertime. And the garden we would visit was called Paradise Gardens. I'm not joking. That's its name, Paradise. Doesn't that sound like an awesome place to go and pick berries? You can Google it after today. Paradise Gardens, Northwest Territories. It was amazing. It was near a river, and there was this open meadow, and there were tons of places to explore. And we loved to play there. I mean, pick berries there. But there was something that my mom always warned us about. When we would go, she would say, stay close. Don't play near the wasps. I can tell. You're giving me this sideways glance, wondering why she would say, don't play near the wasps.
you're smart kids. You know, you don't bug hornets. Well, one afternoon, while we were there, I didn't obey this rule. My mom started picking berries here, and barefoot, I started running in the opposite direction into the tall grass. I wasn't looking where I was going, and immediately I crashed into this hornet's nest. It was in the taller grass. And this swarm of hornets flew out of the nest, and because I was barefoot, started stinging my feet. And then started swarming my sister and friend who were beside me. I remember sobbing and running back to my mom. And even though it really, really hurt, I remembered, or I learned, that it was important to obey the rules that my mom set in place, because it was to protect me. It was to keep me safe. So it kind of reminds me of where God's people are right now. We're getting set to go into the book of Judges. So the book of Judges is in the Old Testament, and it comes right after Joshua, the book of Joshua. And in our God story, Joshua got to be quite old, and he gave the Israelite people some final words. He said, stay strong, stay steady, and obediently do everything that Moses wrote down. I'm going to ask for your help. If you remember something that Moses wrote down, can you come and raise your hand on the, like, in the dialogue boxes up at the top? What did Moses write down? You're sleeping. What did he write down? Sophia, I see you raising your hand. You're not at the chat box, but come. Come and mute yourself. Come tell us what Moses wrote down.
The Ten Commandments.
You're right. He wrote down the Ten Commandments, or the 10 ways to be perfect. Thanks for being brave, Sophia. Hey, I'm going to ask someone else to help me. Hey, what was the first the first commandment? What was the first one? Davis, do you feel brave? Do you feel brave to try? I can see you chatting with your dad, and I'm wondering if you're brave to try. It's okay if you don't. Ruby, I see you doing some digging. What did you find out?
Have no other gods but me.
You got it. Have no other gods but me. God told Moses, and Moses wrote it down, that the Lord your God is one, and to worship him only. So Joshua is old. He's reminding God's people about these things. And God's people, they answered. They said, we'll serve God. We'll obey his voice only. We'll worship him. Joshua dies, and God's people stopped obeying God. And it was kind of chaotic. When you read the story in Judges this week, it was kind of chaotic. It was like stepping on a hornet's nest. I won't spoil it for you, but you can go and read about this story in Judges chapter 3. You can read it with your families and see for yourself if it was like stepping on a hornet's nest. I'll see you next time, friends. Take care.
Thanks, Kristen. We're going to change gears here, and we're going to start off with a discussion question before we get to our scriptures. So I'm going to share my screen with you here again. Marco's going to break us up into small groups, and we're going to discuss this question. Max Dupree says that the first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. Now, I'd like you to discuss this in your groups. I don't bother arguing about whether it's the first responsibility or the second or the third, or whether it's just in the top 10 or something like that. But talk about what he's getting at. You know, this idea that it's a leader's job to say, here's where we're at, here's where we're going, here's why, and so on. Sort of this defining of what is taking place here right now, defining reality. So take a couple of minutes. We're just going to do this for like 3 minutes. So you're going to have to get your thoughts out there pretty quickly. Say hello to one another. And if you're saying, oh, that's not enough time to interact, we have interaction time coming at the end of the service, which you can also log into. So this is just to get the juices flowing. So without any more delay, let's go into our small groups. Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Based on time, I'm going to modify things slightly. I hope that you had some interesting discussions around that quotation. I found it really interesting, like lots of good things to think about as it relates to what I see in scripture and the leaders in scripture. And then I had this other thought where I'm like, well, it's not quite the leader's job to define reality. Maybe it's more the leader's job to interpret reality. I was thinking about the fact that, you know, in the end, I don't really define my reality. It's kind of already out there defined for me by God, and I have to be listening to who he is and how he's defining it. And I was thinking about, you know, where do we see this happening in scripture? And it's the prophets over and over again in scripture that are the people that continually interpret reality, this reality of who God is and what he's doing in the world. They continually interpret reality for their people. You know, Moses says to his people, you guys, it's not just a desert. God's doing something here. Moses is acting like a prophet. You know, Jeremiah says to the people, guys, I know everything looks comfortable and things are going great, but that's not actually how God thinks about this. And they're interpreting reality for their people because it's what they need at that time. And Peter stands up on Pentecost Sunday, which is coming up next week. And he says to the people, you guys are seeing God doing something here. Here's how to interpret it. Here's how to understand it. Now, we tend to think of prophets as being people who either predict the future or have like giant messages from God. It's sort of like this. You remember this guy? Incoming message from the big giant head. This was the TV show Third Rock from the Sun. And these guys were actually aliens. And this particular guy was sort of like their walkie-talkie who was communicating with the head boss on another planet. And he used to come in and say, incoming message from the big giant head. And he ended up being just this living walkie-talkie that they had at times. And that's sometimes how we think of prophets, that prophets are just this walkie-talkie where they just blurt out God's message or something like that. But that's not actually the way prophets function in scripture. Most of the time, and especially when we get to the New Testament, prophets are functioning differently. Prophets still have a word from the Lord, but it looks a little bit different. They start interpreting reality, and then other people have to come alongside and discern it with them. So let's look at our scripture passage today. We're looking at Acts 2. I'm going to give you the context and just read a few verses because we've been in Joel, and Peter quotes Joel on Pentecost Sunday. See, God has swept in over his people on Pentecost Sunday. They've all been together praying together, these apostles and the disciples, people who've been following Jesus for a long time. And the Holy Spirit comes on them, and you know this story about tongues of fire resting on people. And then before they know it, they're speaking in different languages to all of the crowds around them. And some people are mocking them and going, what's going on? These people must be drunk. And Peter stands up and has a prophecy for them. And that's what it is. Peter stands up and says, no, you guys have to interpret reality differently. Here's what it is. Here's what it looks like. These people aren't drunk. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And here it is. Here's God's message from Peter. Here's what Peter says. Peter stood up to this crowd and he said, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. They're going to interpret reality for us. And that's what Peter does. Peter stands up and he offers them a prophecy. He says, this is, you guys need to understand, this is what is really happening here. Here's the reality. This is about prophecy. It's about God bringing his message to his people. And he quotes Joel too, because what is happening as God's people in on Pentecost Sunday are sharing something, the focus is on the prophecy. The focus is on what it is that they are saying. They are speaking prophetically, and it happens to be in a language that the other people can understand. But the focus isn't the fact that they're speaking in another language. The focus is the fact that they are prophesying that God is currently doing something. And you'll see if back in verse 11, you can go back and look at it later on your own time, they're talking about the good things that God has been doing among them. And they need to understand it properly. And they need prophets to stand up and explain to people what is actually going on. They need prophets to help them interpret reality. And that's why Peter goes to Joel 2, because Joel 2 is all about prophecy. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will see visions. On my servants, men and women, I'm going to pour out my spirit, and they're going to prophesy. But Peter actually repeats it. Notice Peter, if you go back and you compare side by side Joel 2 and what Peter has said here, they overlap completely, except in three things that I highlighted up here for you on the screen. And the most important one that I want you to notice is that Peter adds a second line that says, and they will prophesy. He says it twice. Joel only says it once, because that's what Peter understands to be happening at Pentecost at the moment. The focus is prophecy. The focus is simply interpreting reality for people who need to hear it. And it's not something that gets restricted just to Acts 2. Acts 2 is simply the beginning of it. And so we will see in Paul's churches that he just assumes that people are going to continue prophesying. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, strive for the greater gifts, especially that you would prophesy. He says in 1 Thessalonians, don't quench the spirit, don't reject the prophecies, but test everything, holding on to what's good and avoiding what's evil. We need to adjust our expectations for what God might do among us. And it might not look like incoming message from the big giant head. It might actually look a whole lot more subtle. Let me tell you what I think prophecy might look like as you encounter it. I'm not so sure you would even automatically label it prophecy. But think about this. I want you to picture the fact that just picture having a conversation with someone in the church, and they say to you, you know, I think God might be doing something different now. You know, I think this is what it might look like. Now we need to pray about it. And then we need to have a conversation about it. And we need to be expecting that God's going to do something. That might be a prophecy. And we need to be ready for that kind of thing. We need to be expecting that God will be at work in whatever way it is that he wants to work. as his spirit is poured out on his people. That's what we are looking for. We should be expecting that someone comes up to us and says, you know what? I've been praying through this week. And, you know, I think here's something that we need to consider. And they share what it is. And then we weigh it. And then we pray together. And then we ask God, what is it that you're doing? Is this what you are saying? And as 1 Thessalonians says, we hold on to whatever out of those things were good, and we let go of whatever the things that we weren't, that weren't. These are the things that we need to be expecting. We need to expect that God is going to speak and work in different ways, not just through the pastor on Zoom on a Sunday morning. Did you notice that it actually says the other place where Peter modifies Joel 2 is Joel 2 doesn't say, I will pour out my spirit on my servants. Peter adds that. In fact, in the Greek, he adds it twice. The Greek says, I will pour out my spirit on my male servants and on my female servants. In other words, God is going to pour out his spirit and speak through people who aren't considered prophets. So if you look around the people on this call right now, and you scroll through the gallery view, and you look at the people described in our passage here, sons and daughters, old men, you know, whoever, not the leaders, it's all people. God pours out his spirit on all people. And for some reason, he is going to empower people that we don't necessarily expect to say things that we weren't necessarily expecting. And then as they interpret reality for us, we're going to have to weigh it and listen and discern. And of course, we always, always go back to scripture as we weigh it. And we always go to prayer. And we always go to other people to talk about it. This isn't a solo thing. The whole point of prophecy, as Paul will say in 1 Corinthians, is that it's for the building up of the body. It's not to make the speaker look or feel better. It's to bless other people. It's to equip these people for works of service. In fact, that's what Ephesians 4 says. Ephesians 4 didn't just give the church pastors and teachers, it also gave them prophets and evangelists. And we might want to be ready for that. Pentecost Sunday is coming up next week. And honestly, the reason that we're doing Joel 2 and that sort of this Pentecost passage last week and this week is the fact that I screwed up the weeks. So you can consider that your preparation for Pentecost Sunday. Why don't we start praying into the reality that God has promised that he would pour out his spirit on all people and gift people with what they need for the time when they need it, and that he would also give us ears to hear, and that we would start discerning together what God might be doing. So if the leader's job is to interpret reality for people, let me interpret reality a little bit for you, and you can weigh it, and we can pray it, and we can go from here. I think God's doing something new, and I think that we need to be ready for it as a church, because the image that comes to mind of my own personal life has been a little bit like I've gotten flabby spiritually, and I'm being asked to run a marathon, and I'm not sure I'm ready. And I'm praying that God would make us a people who are ready, because God's doing something in the world. That's as far as I'm going to go today. And you can weigh that and pray into it, and we can continue the conversation together. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your spirit on your people, that your sons and daughters would prophesy, that your young men would see visions, your old men would dream dreams, that all of your servants would be gifted with your presence and your ongoing activity in new ways that bless your body and that would equip your body to be your body, your hands and feet in a world that needs you more than ever. Make us people filled with your presence who look like your Son for the glory of the Father and for the changing of the world that you love. In your name, amen. Marco, let's have our final worship song, and then we'll conclude.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be
Thanks for being with us this morning to worship together. It was good to see you all. Marco let me know that some of you are having trouble accessing or getting booted off or not able to get into the chat rooms sometimes or the discussion rooms. And he suggested maybe we could all make sure our apps are updated to the latest version, because Zoom has really taken off in the last couple of months. There are a lot of new things they are adding and continually revising. And so, you know, we got to make sure that we're keeping up with the latest. So just make sure your apps are updated, and that might solve some of the problems. And we'll continue to do what we can to make sure things are running on our end. I believe we are now going or are now able to go to our chat time. So the bunnies have just shared. If you go down to the chat feature, you'll see that the bunnies have shared a new meeting ID and a password. So copy those. And then as we wave and sign off, anyone who wants to join and sort of mingle after the service and say hello to one another can do so. So copy that and hope to see you there. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, my friends. Take care. It's good to see you all.